Deuteronomy. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, I would like to read chapter 6. And let me read those first three verses. These are the same verses we read 3 weeks ago, or 2 weeks ago, when we started this particular series on promise, problem, and provision. And I want us to look at it here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It'll be on the screen there for you if you have a Bible. And this is what verse number 1 says. Now these are the commandments, the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's sons, all the day of the life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here. I pray, Lord God, that we would get something from your word. Lord, you help us now the next few minutes. God, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we started this series, Promise, Problem, and Provision. This is a principle in the Bible that if you'll get it, it'll help you in your Christian life. God always gives you a promise. But with that promise, he always gives you a problem to go along with that promise. Because if you don't have problems along the way, you'll grow up to be a spiritual brat. If you got everything you wanted in your life, if God just, anything you sent up there, Lord, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this, and God just wrote you a blank check, you'd grow up to be a spiritual brat. You wouldn't be mature. And so God will pose a problem to give you with that promise before you can get into the provision. So you can't get into the provision unless you can solve the problems that God gives us to solve. And so that's what we are finding in this particular series. Now today, we've dealt with the promise. We dealt with the problem, five ways to solve your problem last Sunday. Now today, we're going to talk about the provision. Getting into the land of milk and honey. The land flowing with milk and honey. The land of promise. Now, let me say this. That's not heaven. Because if you remember, when they got into the land of promise, the Canaan land, the land flowing with milk and honey, they had to fight some giants over there. And so we know there's no giants in heaven. So this is not talking about heaven. This is talking about inheritance. This is what God has for you. A Christian life, walking with God in the cool of the day. That life where you're closer to God than you've ever been before. That's the land flowing with milk and honey. That's where God wants you to get to. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. God promised them houses they didn't build, wells they didn't dig, vineyards they didn't plant. And God blessed them with spiritual, physical blessings, but he gives us those spiritual blessings to go with those. Walking with God in the cool of the day. Over there, God gave them a promise. So, I want to review for just a minute. Salvation is a promise. But here we see God and delivering the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was in a land of bondage in Egypt. That's a picture of you before you got saved. A slave to sin, a slave to self, a slave to the devil, the flesh, and the world. And you were a slave and you were wanting to be delivered. And then God sends Moses to deliver them. He says, take the blood and you strike it on the doorpost, on the side post. And when I come through the land, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's a picture of salvation. Being delivered out of the land of bondage, out of the land of slavery to sin and the flesh and the devil. Getting delivered. But how many of you know, when they got delivered, the next thing they come upon was a problem. The Red Sea. Just because you get saved doesn't mean all of your problems vanish. Sometimes they even get worse. Because you think about it this way. As long as you're in the devil's family, you're not going to have very many problems because you're on his side. But once you change sides and decide, I'm going with God, the devil don't like it, and boy, there is a war going on. And so sometimes when you get saved, everybody's like, man, it's going to be a bed of roses. Man, I'm going to have a 3-story house, 5-car garage. And man, there's $1 million checks going to come in the mail every week and all of that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what they say on the television. But the Bible, they forgot to read the Bible because the Bible don't say that. God gives us a promise, but he's going to give you a problem to go along with it. God parted the waters and proved to them they could walk across on dry ground. They walk right into the wilderness. Now remember, this is all review, so if you've heard it before, just sit there and smile like this the first time you heard it. They could have walked straight through the wilderness in 2 weeks. They could have walked straight on through in 2 weeks. But they go in circles for 40 years. 40 years. God says, I want y'all to get in the land of promise. Well, Lord, I'm hungry. Well, he feeds them with manna from heaven. They said, I'm hot out in this desert. He put a cloud a day over him to block the sun in the middle of the desert. Lord, at night I'm freezing. A pillar of fire by night to warm them at night. Lord, I want you to go in the land of promise. Well, can we have something besides this manna? God says, take another lap. You ain't learning nothing. All you doing is whining, moaning, groaning, and griping and complaining. I know y'all don't know anybody like that. I'm talking about people at other churches. I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about other churches. Because y'all, I know y'all don't gripe and complain and moan and groan. And Lord, I just, and Moses' wife has already wrote a cookbook, 57 Ways How to Cook Manna. God says, I want you to get into the land flowing with milk and honey. And they wanted to gripe and complain. God gives them a problem to solve before they can get into the provision. And that's the way the Christian life is. Salvation is a promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. The Holy Spirit is a promise. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. When I got saved, he lived inside of me. That is a promise. Heaven is a promise. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, and it's a place I'm going because the promises of God are true. The children of Israel wouldn't do what God told them to, so they kept on going in circles. Y'all ever felt like you're just going in circles? It seemed like after 40 years, they'd figure out, man, I've seen this tree before. Seemed like after 40 years, they're like, man, that pond was here. I remember passing this last year. And it seems like you're going in circles and you're moving, but you're not getting nowhere. You may have something God's trying to get you to solve before you can get into the land of promise. All right, here's an illustration. Parents, you've been praying for your son, your daughter, whoever it is. Your son, oh God, I want him to be saved. I want him to be, you know, something. Use him for God. And Lord, train him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I'm standing on the promises. And boy, here your son comes in one time. He's stumbling and he's drunk and he's on dope. He can't even find his bedroom. What do you have? You have a problem. How you respond to the problem. So here's one way. Well, God, I can't believe you're doing me this way. You didn't answer my prayer. I asked for a Billy Graham and you sent home Willie Nelson. God says, take a lap. Take a lap. You ain't learning nothing. The right way to respond. The right way to respond. God, I know you're in control. I know the promises of the Bible is true. God, you have promised, and I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep standing on the promises. I'm going to keep carrying him to church until you do something with him. How you respond to the problem determines how long you stay in the problem. God never hears my prayer. He hears everybody else's prayer. He don't hear mine. We just sang a song just a few minutes ago. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubts and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. That other verse says, standing on the promises of I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Let me give you another example. Men, you're praying for a good godly wife. Ladies, you're praying for a good godly husband. And men, I'm telling you what, you're praying for a godly wife. God, change my wife. And Lord, I need her to be a good, I need her to be sweet. And boy, sweeter than what she has been. And boy, you've been praying in the car. And God's really give you a promise. And you pull up to the house. And man, you're expecting her to show up with a smile on her face, a rose between her teeth. And you open the door and you walk in. And she's, bites your head off like a lion that hadn't eaten 2 weeks. How do you respond? Well, God, a man really never knows happiness until he gets married and it's too late. My wife and I always have words and I never get a chance to use mine. The wrong way to respond is to whine. God said, take another lap. Take another lap. You ain't learned nothing. And he's going to keep giving you that same problem until you learn the right response. You know, men, I'm going to be honest with you. I counsel some of them young ones, boy, they're looking for Barbie. Man, they're looking for Barbie. And I have to tell them, you ain't going to find Barbie. They say, why? Because you ain't Ken. Hallelujah. What is the right way to respond? Lord, I'm standing on the promises of God. I want a good godly wife. I want a good godly husband. I want what God wants from me. My husband is a jerk right now, but Lord, I'm praying, bless him with a brick. And the sooner the better. A wife and her husband, they get up. He's trying to get off to work. The wife says, walking out the door, I bet you don't know what today is. I sure do. He goes off to work at 11 o'clock. 24 roses show up at the house. About 2 o'clock that afternoon, her favorite candy shows up at the house. And about 5, right before he gets home from work, about 5, her designer dress shows up delivered at the house. Boy, he walks in. Man, he's got his chest out. Boy, he's really, you know, done something good. And she says, well, first the flowers and then the candy and then the dress. She said, it's the best Groundhog's Day I've ever had. Men, check the calendar. Don't fall for that. Remember, the bigger the promise, the bigger the problem. Repetition right here. Trying to get you will be known by the problems you solve or the problems you create. Everybody carries on a bucket of water and a bucket of gas. You have a fire, it's a problem. You either put water on it or you put gas on it. And that's what happens in our Christian life. You can respond two different ways. You can either make it worse or make it better. Somebody say amen. The problem that irritates you the most will be the problem that God gives you to solve. Maybe it's anger. What irritated Moses was his anger. Moses had an anger problem. And God kept giving him that same problem till it got it solved. Maybe yours is greed. Maybe it's jealousy. Whatever it is. How you see the problem is the problem. Now, let me give you this. We're getting down to the message right here. You want to get into the land of provision. All right. Number one, you must overcome the wilderness. In the wilderness, you must overcome a thing called deception. Matthew 24:4, Jesus says, let no man deceive you by any means. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let no man deceive you. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 says, men lie in wait to deceive you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in a world full of deception. Jesus, one of the disciples, they asked the Lord, says, what's one of the signs of the end times? Jesus said, one of the signs of the end time will be deception. There's religious deception. Paul calls it the doctrine of devils. Now, I'm fixing to say something that you probably won't hear a lot of places, but I'm going to tell you. That's why a lot of people like coming here, because we get the truth and we don't preach off of Fox News and the newspaper and the Sears and Roebuck catalog, and we preach out of the Bible. Deception, doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils is presenting salvation any other way than through Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. No man, that means no man. You cannot get to heaven without going through Jesus Christ. There ain't a church that can save you. There's not a baptistry that can save you. There's not a wafer that can save you. There's not a man on this earth can save you. There's not a woman on this earth can save you. No matter what they say, there's only one way. And it's through Jesus Christ. 4,200 different religions and only one empty tomb. Let me get to the Pentecostal side. Out of 4,200 different religions, there's only one empty tomb. That ought to answer it all. Deception. New age deception. We're living in a day now to where our kids go to school and they bury them in new age theology. New age theology is everyone is included. And they include every religion unless you bring up Jesus Christ. Now, if you bring up Jesus Christ, then you're excluded from the included group. Amen. New age deception. And let me just pause and say this right here. And I know we watch the news. We have to watch the news. We try to keep up with what's going on in the news and all of this kind of stuff. But let me tell you something. It doesn't matter which one you watch. They're always trying to deceive you and to mold and decide the way you view something. Amen. Don't matter what side of the fence you're on, everybody's trying to deceive everybody. There's no right or wrong anymore. Well, I'm just here to tell you, this Bible is right whether you believe it or not. The reason they don't like the Bible is because it's full of facts. People don't like facts anymore. They don't want to hear the facts. They want to say, oh, what do you think about this? Well, this is what I think. What do you think about it? Who cares what we think? What does God think? Amen. What does God think about it? Satanism is a deception. Right now, the world's being flooded. You remember, and I may be showing my age now, and this may be off the scene now, but when, you know, back a few years ago, man, everything, Harry Potter, this, and witchcraft, and vampires, and sucking on people's necks, and all of the shows, the television show, Charmed, and vampires, and Walking Dead, and deception. Say, preacher, that's old school. That's Bible school. Full of witchcraft. Secular humanism is deception. They say no right. There's nothing right. Everything is just whatever's right for you may not be right for me. Whatever's right for me may not be right for you. I got a little news for you. There's light and darkness. There's good. There's evil. There's wheat and there's tares. There's sheep and there's goats. There's the broad way and the narrow way. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Ten commandments are not 10 recommendations. The Ten Commandments are the law of God. They have not changed. They're still the yea and the amen of God. They don't like the Bible because the Bible are absolute clear facts. It's not opinions. They say, well, Brother Jeremy, what do you think about this? Well, let me tell you what the Bible says about it. Amen. The first step in deception is rejecting the truth. When you reject the truth, all you have is a lie. The first thing the devil did in Genesis chapter number 3 is attack the Bible. Yea, hath God said? Did God really say what he said he said? Did God really mean? And 6,000 years later, people are still correcting and changing the Bible to make it to fit what they like. What's God's position on abortion? Well, Proverbs 6:16, these six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination to him. Proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. That's God's view on it. You say, well, that's not Washington's view on it. Who cares? That's God's view on it. Hands that shed innocent blood. 40 million children we have killed in this nation. In Exodus, if two men are fighting and one a pregnant lady gets in the mix of it and they accidentally hit her and the baby dies, everybody's wondering, well, is it the fetus or is it the baby? Well, let me just tell you what Exodus says. Exodus says the man that hit her by accident must die because they killed an innocent life. That's what God says. You say, preacher, you're big. Don't get mad at the mailman. I didn't write it. Don't get mad at the mail. I'm just delivering the mail. He's the one who said it. What's God's position on hell? Hell was created for the devil and his angels. Hell was never created for you. Hell was never created for one single person. Matthew 25 says hell was created for the devil and his angels. But if you reject Jesus Christ, God's Son, the full payment of the sin on the cross of Calvary for your sin and my sin, if you reject that, you will go to a place called hell. God doesn't send you there. You send yourself there. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I don't believe in hell. That doesn't make it not exist. Just because you don't believe in it, it doesn't disappear. It doesn't matter what you believe if what you believe is not so. The earth is round whether you believe it or not. Poison kills whether you believe it or not. Fire will burn you whether you believe it will or not. Electricity. Stick your finger in that socket over there and see what happens. It will shock you. Well, I don't believe it. Go over and stick it in there and see. Absolute facts. That's what the Bible is. You say, God, what's God's position on guns? What's God say about guns? Well, I'll tell you what he said. In Luke, he told the disciples, he said, buy a sword and sell it not. Amen. Get one and don't sell it. Amen. Amen. You say, preacher, the Bible says thou shalt not kill. Yeah, but 2 Timothy 2:15 says rightly divide the word. Thou shalt not kill, but then he told David, kill Goliath. There is a time and a place for all things. And if you break in my house and try to harm my family, you say, well, I got a problem with that. Ask God, because you're fixing to meet him. That's God's position. It's not my position. It's not the church position. That's God's position. Amen. You say, preacher, what's God's position on welfare? Well, welfare works like this in the Bible. In the book of Ruth, they told those farmers, they said, when you get ready to cut the barley, you cut the corners and leave the corners for the widows and the orphans. You cut the corners for the widows and the orphans. And for the widows and the orphans, we ain't bringing it to your house. If you want it, come get it. If you want it, come get it. Hallelujah. I'm enjoying my own preaching. If you want it, come get it. It ain't welfare. It's workfare. If a man don't work, he don't eat. Boy, I got the wrong sermon for today. But we're living in a place now to where they're paying you not to work. And I'm going to restaurants and there's a sign on the door that says we're closed today because we can't find enough help. Because they're making more at the house. And all we're doing is creating lazy people. Oh, I thought I'd get more amens out here in Mills Field. Amen. They tell you, the National Wildlife Association, Federation, whatever you call it, when you go into one of those wildlife places or a was nature, whatever, there's a big sign that says, don't feed the animals. And there's, you say, oh, why can't I feed the animals? You know, all this kind of stuff. I want to feed them. It's cute. And there's a sign that says, don't feed the animals because they'll get dependent upon you and they won't go hunt for food themselves. Lord, I come to preach today. I don't know if y'all come to listen. But one thing we have to overcome before you can get into the land flowing with milk and honey is the world's deception. It's the yea and the amen, standing on the promises of God. Now, another thing that you'll have to overcome before you get into the land flowing with milk and honey is conquering your flesh. Now, let me say this real quickly before we go. When you got saved, God came to live on the inside of you. Now listen to this real good. My outside didn't change. My inside changed. So, it's almost like after you get saved, you have two people living on the inside of you. I've got an old man and I've got a new man. You say, preacher, I don't have an old man. Well, let me follow you out on I-40 here for a little bit and see if you got an old man. Because he'll come out pretty quick out there on I-40. And I'll be honest, I'm saved. I am saved. I'm heaven bound with the hammer down. Okay? I have no doubt if I was to take my last breath right now and follow right here, I'd go to heaven. No problem with that. But here's something else I can tell you. This old outside man, if you got a blinking arrow that says merge 1 mile ahead, it's going down to one lane. And you try to speed up and zoom up past me and whoop over in front of me at the last minute, not while I'm driving, you ain't. I will run you into the blinking sign in the name of the Lord. That's what we battle every day. Old man, new man. Some people woke up this morning, and I know some people work, some people are traveling, some people just couldn't provide, some people are sick, some people just providentially are hindered. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about some people got up, and the reason they didn't come is because their old man outweighed the new man on the inside, and they chose the bedside assembly over Christ Church Baptist Fellowship. A lot of people worship at bedside assembly. We have to overcome this flesh. Now, let me get down and, yes, I'm trying to make you laugh on purpose. Why? Because I'm trying to keep your attention. Do you say you got a Bible exam? I sure do. Moses. All right, watch this. God gave him a problem. What Moses' problem was? He had an anger issue. Matter of fact, the first time you see Moses when he shows up in the Bible, he kills an Egyptian because they're messing with the his people, the nation of Israel. And he kills, and he has to take off, and on the backside of the desert, he has to spend 40 years in anger management school. It's in there, you got to read it. 40 years on the backside of the desert, anger management school, and then he's out there wandering around in the wilderness, and he walks up on a burning bush that starts talking to him. And says, all right, I want you to go let my people go. He says, well, you know, I can't this, I can't that. God says, let go, tell Pharaoh, let my people go. All of that. Well, God delivers them. All right, remember this story? Moses, hey, God puts Moses over pastoring 2 million people. I don't know if he had a head full of hair, but I doubt it. 2 million people. And so Moses says, hey, God's supposed to give us the Ten Commandments. I'm going up on Mount Sinai. I'll be back. Y'all stay here. I'm coming back. He goes up Mount Sinai. Guess what? By the time he comes back, the associate pastor Aaron's done took over, run off with the church. They've done changed everything. They're done rock and rolling now. They're marching around a golden calf, taking their clothes off like they do at the mall in Walmart. And they're marching around this calf. Moses comes down. Remember, what kind of problem does Moses have? Anger problem. So he comes down, he takes the two tablets that the Ten Commandments are wrote on and gets so, I'd have broke them over their head, you know. He throws it and breaks all Ten Commandments at once. Why? God says, Moses, I'm trying to bring out and get that out of you. That 40 years in anger management school obviously didn't help you. Moses got an anger problem. Your problem may not be anger. Your problem may be something else. But whatever it is, the same principle will work. And so God keeps posing that same thing. Then they get in the wilderness. Guess what? They're thirsty. God says, Moses, you take that rod in your hand and you strike the side of that rock. And water started gushing and quenched their thirst. It wasn't a little while later, they got thirsty again. God says, now Moses, this time I don't want you to strike it. I want you to speak to it. And the same the water will come out. You speak to it. Well, guess what? Moses got mad, took his rod. Why? Moses got an anger problem. One, two, three strikes, you're out. Guess what? Watch. That cost Moses being able to go over into the promised land. Not heaven. Moses is in heaven. We're talking about inheritance. Two totally different things. But because he couldn't solve his problem, it cost him an all-expense-paid trip to the Holy Land. Now, your problem may be something totally different. Your problem may be whatever it is. I don't know. But it's the same principle. God gives you that. Anger is going to destroy your marriage. It's going to destroy your relationship. It'll destroy your business. It'll destroy your kids. Anger is going to... Now, here. Well, let's see. We got 5 minutes. Okay, let me give you the message right here. Go to the last. It's Deuteronomy 7. How do you get over in the promised land? Fix to tell you right here. Deuteronomy 7. And the Lord thy God will pour out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase. But notice what it says. Little by little. How are you going to get over in the promised land? Little by little. Little by little. You say, how did this church get here? Let me tell you how it happened. Little by little. We just didn't wake up and, boy, here we got a new church out here. This church was hit by a tornado. We met with 8 people right over here. What was it? Over here in the gym for a good little while. 8 folks. Over here in the gym until this got built. How did we do it? Little by little. A tornado. What's a tornado? A problem. Well, God, we just going to sit down and we ain't going to do nothing. You going to send that through here? We just going to quit church. We just not even going to have a church out here. That's the wrong response. Right response. I'm standing on the promises of God. God, I know what your plans are. I'm going to stand on these promises and look what God is doing. Little by little. There's a fellow by the name of George Mueller. George Mueller took care of orphans. He took care of, but when he's 90 years old, now I'm closing, hang on. 90 years old, George Mueller took care of 2,500 orphans without asking the state for a dime. You say, how did he do it? One day, George Mueller was walking downtown, and there was an orphan, and she had her little hand stuck out in the white picket fence, and that tore his heart up. He just grabbed her little hand, and George Mueller said, God, if you'll let me, I want to feed, and I want to help these little orphans. He started out with 2. Then he got 4. Then he started taking care of 6. Then he's had 10. Then he had 25 he was taking care of. Then 50. Then he was taking care of 100. Then he was 500. Little by little. And when he died, 90 years old, George Mueller, taking care of 2,500 orphan kids because he did it little by little. Listen, folks, here's something we need to learn in our Christian lives. When you get saved, This example just came up to me. Sammy's getting ready to come to Piana. When I first got saved, I got saved when I was like 10 years old. God called me to preach. My dad was a preacher at Trinity Baptist Church here. My dad was a preacher. And just a personal example. And God called me to preach about 18, I think it was 18, 19. I was out on the road singing. Man, I thought I was going to be on the next Gaither video. And God says, I want you to preach. And I'm thinking, you know, my uncle's a preacher, my dad's a preacher. We got enough preachers in the family. We won't need another. You know. And some of my family's going, that's right, we don't need another. And so when I got called to preach, I just thought my dad, hey, let me preach. I'll straighten these people out. You let me preach. Matter of fact, you ought to just turn the whole church over to me. Dad says, no, I got a few more years in me. But I do need somebody to take up the offering next Sunday. I said, Daddy, God didn't call me to take up no offering. He called me to receive one. Daddy said, get over and sit down then. I said, Daddy, can I preach? Let me preach. Let me preach. I'm ready. Boy, I got a sermon, and man, it's going to get everybody right. Man, I'm telling you what, everybody in Holt and Dyersburg is going to get right when I preach this. He says, well, I'm preaching this Sunday, but we got a class that needs a teacher in it, and a little small class, and I want you to take care of that. Daddy, God didn't call me to teach Sunday school. My preacher. I asked my daddy, I said, Daddy, why don't you let me preach? That's what he said. Until you learn to be faithful in the little things. God will never give you the big things. How do you get in the land of provision? Little by little. If you've been saved any length of time, I can promise you, I don't even have to know you that well. If you've been saved any length of time, guess what? I can promise you, you've messed up. Anybody want to shake their head like that? Two responses to that. Well, Lord, I messed up. I am no longer a Christian. I'm going to quit church, and I can't do it. I just can't do it. Every time I try, I quit. Or, God, I'm standing on the promises of God. I know you still got a plan for me. I'm asking you to forgive me. Lord, please still use me to the best of your ability. Little by little. Say, preacher, when are we going to fill all these seats up? Little. Little by little, God will get us over into the promised land, flowing with milk and honey. Wouldn't that be good? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. I hope and pray that something